Let's go back to the topic at hand, which is the bigness and the non-Christianity or Christian-like behavior of the corporate giant that is Chick-fil-A.
So let me say something unpopular about the religion of the Chick-fil-A guys and the inadequacy of it. Now, this might not be the full explanation. I don't pretend that it is. My guess is that it's the cult of respectability that made them do this. They don't want people saying nasty things about them anymore. And by the way, as Dreher points out, it's not going to end at this. The agenda, which is very evil and very in your face and very aggressive and surly and truculent, they're going to force Chick-fil-A to come out and bless sodomy.
Sure.
They're going to force them to do that. And if they, and right now that they've capitulated, they can only keep capitulating. Either that or they just suddenly, you know, they man up and say, look, we screwed up. We're going to give twice as much to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we're going to put our reputation on it. This stuff's evil and we don't mess with evil. If they come out and say that, you get all kinds of people who'll be packing their stores to support
again.
It. Anyway, but I think that they want the respectability. But there's another issue to keep in mind here, and it's important. And it's, again, the church has everything we need by way of divine truth, by way of sacraments, by way of preaching, by way of sacramentals to save our souls and to live a life that's good on this earth before we die and go to heaven. Protestantism doesn't, okay? The evangelicals in this country, and I'm talking about American evangelicals, I'm talking about your good old Southern boys, your good old Midwestern boys and girls, the evangelicals that I grew up with as friends, I was friends with a lot of these guys, they are majority pro-contraception. Let's not forget that. Now, contraception, along with self-abuse and porn use, is essentially a heterosexual version of sodomy. That's what it is. In other words, it's the promotion of sterile sex. The traditional wisdom of the church, in fact, you can call it the very shibboleth of Catholic sexual morality, is that the separation of the procreative from the unitive aspects of the marital act is evil. In other words, it's mortally sinful. Once you part from that shibboleth of Catholic orthodoxy in sexual morality, the embrace of the LGBT, et cetera, agenda is a matter of time. You might not embrace it, but your children will, or if they don't,
absolutely,
your grandchildren will.
Yes.
Because this is a logical consequence. Sterile sex is sterile sex. Whether Pete Buttigieg and his paramour engage in it, or whether it's engaged in by two consenting heterosexuals who use a latex barrier in order to prevent conception. Sterile sex is sterile sex. And I mean deliberately sterile sex. I mean deliberately sterilizing the act. I'm not talking about – obviously there are times when – most of the time, in fact, when a woman is not fertile. I understand that. I'm not a biological idiot. But
– Hey, brother, by the way, traveling the highways and byways in Florida just on this subject of sterility, we counted eight from Tampa all the way to Mobile, eight signs on Interstate 75 – and then on Interstate 10, call this toll-free number, 1-888-VASECTOMY.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, you don't need the latex barrier.
You don't need the soy.
You can do it au naturel.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's not au naturel because you've surgically mutilated yourself. Now, there's another thing that needs to be brought out about the evangelical Christianity. Don't forget, one of Luther's big contributions to quote-unquote Christian thought was that a Christian has a sort of a dual citizenship, one in this world and one in the kingdom of heaven. And this means that he can do things that are proper to the one domain that are improper in the other. It's kind of like the Muslim theory of the two truths that they came up with in the Middle Ages, There was the Lutheran idea of a man being a citizen of this world and a citizen of the next. And it was based upon this that Luther sanctioned German princes to massacre peasants during the peasant uprisings in Germany. In other words, there's no real moral theology at the basis of Lutheranism. And don't forget, you might say, well, that's not evangelicalism. What's the Lutheran church called in Germany? The Evangelica Kirche. It's the evangelical church. They don't call themselves Lutherans. Evangelicalism goes back to Luther. That's what it is. It might not be the Lutheran sect. It might not have that name on the sign outside the church, but that is what it is. It goes back to the great wisdom of the original reformer himself, Martin Luther. And his idea about the Christian as a citizen or a prince, especially of this world, was not particularly Christian. In other words, the ideas that we talked about last week or the week before that are found in that wonderful book, Before Church and State, you don't find that in Protestant social theory.